worship God under like trees in Africa with nothing or in mud huts. And then, you know, whoa, thank you, Lord. Alicia Patton, I love you. No, isn't she great? Known her since she was a little girl. You're amazing. Sarah McKinley, thank you. You're awesome. Love you forever, both of you. Thank you for serving. Wow, I'm gonna share a story because I feel like I'm supposed to. And then we're gonna get the Australian powerhouse up here. Our little Aussie in the house. I feel like it's just gonna build your faith and it's just gonna help you. Many years ago, on a Friday night in our house of prayer, we were praying, and I would find myself praying this prayer week after week. God, give us the darkest of the dark people that nobody else wants. And we would cry out, God, give us the prostitutes. Give us those, like, just deep in sin. We just start naming it out, you know. And one time I'm praying, and the Spirit so strong, and I said, Lord, save the high priest of the Wiccan coven in Huron, South Dakota. And I didn't know anybody that was Wiccan. I didn't know that if there was a coven in Huron, it's a very rural community, right? And at that time, I didn't really know as much about like some of the spiritual underbelly of the city. I don't need to know it, but you know, whatever God wants to show me so I can pray. But this prayer was so strong. And I was so like the yes and amen of the Spirit on it that I prayed it for like a couple years. Periodically on Friday night when we were in our house of prayer and we were praying for the lost, I'd say, Lord, save the high priest of the Wiccan coven in Huron, South Dakota. And afterwards people would say, is there a Wiccan coven? I'm like, I don't know. But I know we're supposed to pray this prayer. One day at home, I just am praying again for this person. And I felt like I was supposed to Google him. And I was really scared to because I don't ever Google, like, I don't need to know, like, what terrible darkness is in our city and what demonic things are happening. It's not where my eyes are. It's not where my focus is. I don't even think that's how the majority of spiritual warfare is really won. I think it's mostly through worship and the proclamation of the gospel, honestly. Yeah. Proclaim the gospel, people get saved. And some of them are high priests of the Wiccan coven. but I felt really strongly, and I was like, okay, Lord, I just Googled high priest Wiccan coven, South Dakota, Huron, South Dakota, and up pops a face and a name, a person. And it turned out there was a Wiccan coven, or probably maybe it still is, there was in Huron. And we did have a high priest, and he actually was like really like setting himself up as being kind of a high priest even over the state. So we were kind of pumping darkness all over the state, actually. He was, like, offering to mentor people in his Wiccan covenness stuff. It's dark. But he was, like, you know, mentoring people in it. And I was like, wow, Lord, I don't want that in our city. But I'm like, so now I've got a name, though, and a face. I'm not going to say the name, not going to say the face, because I don't know if we're live streaming yet. But anyway, so now when on a Friday night in the house of prayer, we're praying, Lord, save people in our city. And I say, Lord, save so-and-so by name, high priest of the Wiccan coven. I don't know where he lives. I don't know anything about the guy other than there is one. He's got a name. He's got a face. And so I just say his name. Most of the people in the room don't even realize what's going on. Like, oh, yeah, who's that so-and-so guy? I don't know. Someone she knows. I'm like, I don't know this guy. The Lord just said, save the high priest of the Wiccan coven, and I say his name out loud. I do this for maybe 6 months, year, I don't know. And I'm riding in the car one day with Cindy Katz, back when she was Cindy Martinez, little cute Honduran girl in the back here, who I have loved for a decade and a half. You're so amazing. I'm riding in the car with her, and I tell her the story. I tell her a story about the Spirit moving on us. We start praying for the high priest of the Wiccan coven, and then the Lord shows us there is one, and then the Lord gives us his name and his face, and we're like, I said, this guy's going to get saved. I'm like, we have his name, his face, and we're declaring it. Like, and she goes, well, where does he live? I'm like, I don't know where he lives. What does he do? I don't know what he does. I just know he has a name, a face, and we're declaring. Well, she, because she's young and hip, you know, she knows how to like basically become a creeper on the internet. And so she becomes a creeper, looks the guy up, finds out his address. Scary. His address, like that he's, you know, where he lives, and she's like a few days later, she looks at another guy in church and she goes, "Let's go witnessing." And she's like, "I've got the address." And I was like, "Are you kidding me?" On the way over there, the Lord says to her, "Salvation will come through his son." She's like, "Lord, I creeped on him. He doesn't have a son. He has a daughter. Her name is so-and-so. She's 7 years old." She knows all the stuff. You can find anything out. And the Holy Spirit says, salvation is going to come through his son. She knocks on this disgusting, dilapidated house. She knocks on the door. A random person answers, and she says, "Well, is so-and-so here?" And he goes, "No. He's at the hospital. His wife just had a baby boy. And there's problems with the baby." She gets in the car. She drives straight over to the hospital. She walks into the OB unit like she owns it. "I'm here to see so-and-so and their new baby." Nobody knows each other. You're getting it, right? She walks right in there. But guess what? Even high priests and Satanists love their babies. She walks right in there, and she's like, "My name is so-and-so, and I just came to pray for your baby." They're like, "Oh." And she takes that child, and they had a beautiful name. They had named it with a lot of meaning. Alexander, I believe, which means like mighty and great in the Lord or something. Warrior in God or something. She says, "Oh," she takes this little baby. Because they're just like, "Yeah, pray for the baby." I mean, there's all these problems. They're scared. She takes that baby. She lifts that baby up to Jesus. She says, "Salvation's coming through this baby." And she just declares and prophesies over the baby, and praying healing over the baby and salvation over them. Oh, I don't know. It was a couple weeks, a month. He's in the church hearing the gospel. And Jeff preaches a message. He's never to this day ever preached this message. One time in his entire existence of being married to that man, he preached this message, how to get free from the curse. How to know if you're living under a curse and get free from it. And this guy came up to him afterwards. He says, "I'm under a curse. My whole life is cursed. I'm absolutely cursed. I want Jesus and I want out of the curse." And a week later, we were baptizing him. I don't know. I just really felt like I was supposed to share that story. Apparently, you can just Google any stranger and start praying for them, and apparently, they're just going to get saved. Get in your church. You get to baptize them. It was glorious. Well, they don't live in the area anymore. They moved. But I mean, wow. Do you got somebody that you need salvation in your family? Get fresh faith today. I mean, nobody, it doesn't matter how far that prodigal is, away. Later, I found out this guy had relatives praying for him. What were they? They were in agony, I'm sure, over the darkness of his life. Wow. Tell you what, Deborahs, rise up. Rise up, Deborahs. Rise up and fight for your family, for your friends, for your neighbors. Oh, yeah, I know. Cindy's just a lover. I miss you. She lives in Missouri now. All right, tomorrow, I just want a few announcements, and we're just going to go right on with introducing Sally here. Sally's going to be with us tomorrow morning, 10:30 a.m. If you're here for the conference, you're spending the night, you can come to service if you want to join us. The Bruce family, Lori, can you just wave your hand? The Bruce family is in town from Rapid. They're going to be doing worship, so there's going to be a worship team from one end to the other. There's nine of them. It's so beautiful. I love it. And it's going to be great. So if you're in town, you're invited. If you don't have a church, if you're here and you don't have a church, if you have a church, go to your church. But if you don't have one, you're invited. And then Ellie, are you here? Angie? Oh, it's okay. There's a worship gathering that Ellie's putting on in Sioux Falls at Church of the Gate. There you go. Sunday night. Tomorrow night, what time? 6:30 in Sioux Falls at Church of the Gate. There's a prophetic worship night. If you live in that area, you might want to jump in on that. They had said it to me, and I said, "Yes, I will announce it." Our heavenly waffles beforehand. Oh, I don't even know what that is, but I'm sure they're heavenly. They Praise the Lord. So Sally, if those of you that were not here last night, I am really fading fast here. Woo! Great weekend. Sally's from Australia. Sally's been a lifelong missionary for 20 years. She's been a youth pastor. She spent the last 10 years at the International House of Prayer in Kansas City full time on staff there. She's just beautiful. She's getting married this fall to the lucky man, Tyler. And Tyler just landed the dream job and is moving to Kansas City to kind of make it more official. They're setting some dates, so it's exciting part of her life. And Sally, we just appreciate you. Appreciate all who you are in God, every part of it. We love it. All of your Hadazari and all of it. Hadazari? Hapadazari. Hapadashery. I can't say it because it's not really a word. No one has shown it to me online yet in the dictionary. I know it's a word. I'm chasing. Come on up, Sally.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Autumn and team, for just making space to meet with God this weekend. I feel undone, to be honest. It's deep. This is deep, what God is doing among you guys. You know, it's deep, it's real, it's substantial. Did everyone get their little bouncy ball thing today? You can feel it. He's in the room. He's in the midst of your situation. He's right. He's so close, you know. And he's so close in this gathering. So, Autumn, you are to be commended. Your obedience. You know, she was sharing with me earlier this year that she really felt from the Lord for a while to gather ladies together. You know, and your obedience has made room for people to get delivered, for people to meet God again, for people to allow the insides of their womb to be reoriented to the things of the eternal. So you've got some reward in this room, right? Really. So thank you for letting me come. And it's just been and also to Kennedy, man, that word that you brought this morning. But even before that, I got so deeply touched this morning when you shared about fear, when you were proclaiming freedom over the room. And Kennedy, the Lord is resting profoundly on your life as a messenger. And I want to pray for every young woman right now who feels called to be a messenger. Come up, Kennedy, right now. And any young woman under the age of 30 in this room, you're not old if you're over 30, but I just want to identify, who feels called to be a messenger of the gospel in any kind of way, stand up. Don't be shy. Even if you're just kind of thinking it. Yeah, okay. I'm sure there are others. Yes, I know that you are, Kat, because I've been looking at you. Okay, good. Okay, and we're just going to pray right now. Come on up. Come up the front. Come up the front. Yes, Abigail, get your butt down here. And others, yes. We're just going to pray right now, right? Because God has a word to be released on the earth, and he wants to do it through young women. He does. He wants to do it through these ones. Okay, so what you're looking at right now, a revivalist. Take a really good look. Take a good look at these faces, right? You're going to see them up on Instagram, on Facebook, preaching the gospel. Not talking about fashion. Well, maybe fashion's cool too. But Jesus is way cooler, right? And this morning when Kennedy got up here and she just starts pacing back and forth, you know, with the flowy thing going on, and she's getting it, and it reminded me of me at 24. Man, I got gripped with the gospel and I just started to preach the word, right? So you guys don't have to wait until you're older. Screw that. Sorry, that's, I apologize, Jesus, sorry. Okay, don't worry about that. I didn't mean to cuss. That, you don't need to wait, and you don't need to give in to that idolatry. Or that ideology, young people. You can really be a messenger of the gospel. And so I feel like something that's on God's heart tonight is for me to just release boldness and courage over you. And I want to just speak. Just put out your hands like you're receiving a gift. I want to speak a release of everything that I have walked through, everything that you guys have walked through, everything, every door that you guys have opened up in the spirit, they get to walk through. So just jump up from your seat and we're going to pray for them. time. It's ministry time right now. Jump up, yes. And you're just going to start releasing upon these young hearts all that you have walked in, all that you walk in now. And we're just going to start to say, come Holy Spirit, release boldness and unction, release the fire of the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit upon these messengers. God, release a word on their tongue and a burning on their heart. Raise up female John the Baptist who are voices crying out in the wilderness saying, make straight the path of the Lord, for the Lord is coming. We just ask right now, come, come Holy Spirit on each one of these. Come right now, right now, right now, come. Come and release fire, fire upon them, fire, fire on the inside. God, release fire, the fire of the gospel be released over these ones right now, right now. Father, we release unction and power upon their words to articulate the scripture, to rightly divide the word of truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come on. Come, Holy Spirit. Just come on each one of these ones in power. Come right now. Come right now. We speak a release of the Deborahs and the Esthers and the Hannahs and the Elizabeths. We speak a release over them right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, do it, God. Do it, God. Father, release something in and upon them that is other than. Release other than shift.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that we go together. We go together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Winter, I'm so grateful that you brought that exhortation again, and just thank you for your story. Oh, thank you for your story. It's so powerful. So powerful. You know, that scripture is so powerful. I've been crying so much through my contact lenses. Lord Jesus, help me see my notes. I know I need to. I just want to say it again. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing, you who have not labored with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says God. Therefore, stretch forth the curtains. Drive down the 10 pegs deep. For you will increase to the left and to the right, and your descendants will inherit the land. For more are children of the desolate than the married woman, says God. Initially, this scripture is toward Israel. And what God is saying is essentially, Israel, sing even in your waiting, because what I'm going to bring forth by my miraculous power through your nation will far surpass any nation that prospers naturally. That's what he says. What I am going to do in you by my spirit far surpasses what could be done in the natural. Therefore, barrenness sets you up for a miracle, you guys. Remember last night? The barren woman and the fruitful rival become the stage upon which God enters to work a miracle. We're set up in our places of lack to watch God show up in a way that we would have never seen otherwise. This is the life of the believer. We live kind of between that now and the not yet, right? We live in that in-between space where we're waiting for the full consummation of all things. We wait, right? We are the groaning ones, ladies. We are the longing ones. We're the weeping ones, the laughing ones, the crazy ones, the intense ones. And I just want to say what a joy it's been to connect with some of you this weekend and hear some of those stories over dinner, by the coffee, last night with that charcuterie board on my third helping. You know, I stood there and I ate and I met some of you, and I just I've loved hearing some of your stories. Thank you for being vulnerable and for bringing me into some of your journey, you know. A lady came up to me, she'll remain nameless, but just said, you know, thanks for being a speaker who actually like talks with people. And I'm like, well, I just think professionalism is gross, so we have to kill it. And there are no superstars, and any one of you could be up here. I'm just holding the microphone, all right? So let's just normalize this thing, right? Let's just be real with one another. Like, I love talking to you before, and she was just saying how we don't need to wait for the big names to come to our city, right? We don't need to, like, I am just this weird Aussie from Australia. I am absolutely nobody, and yet Autumn asked me to come. I mean, she took this epic risk, and here we are all together, you know? We are all together. And undoubtedly, I have the call of a messenger on my life. I'm going to own that. I'm going to walk in it. So we've got to walk in it, ladies. We've got to own it. We've got to say, yes, this is who I am. I am someone who proclaims the gospel for Jesus. We get to step into it, but we're just like everybody else, right? So I've just loved being with everybody else, and I've just loved hearing some of your stories. And I was saying, I think it was Desi and her mom today. I've forgotten your name. What's your name? Michelle. That South Dakotans are so real. Like, you guys are so real and so genuine, you know. There's just no games, and you just here and you're just showing up and, you know, you're just ready to meet God. And that is so refreshing. You know, Kansas City, it's a different vibe. I love Kansas City, but it's a different vibe. So what God's doing here is very special. And maybe that's why Autumn had me come, so that I could tell you again, you know, what God is doing here is really special. I've just loved what each of the speakers have brought. Now, I did miss one session, which I think was Shannon, and I think Jessica too. I think it was those two speakers. I'm so sorry for missing your session, but I bet it was glorious. I bet it was. And I just wanted to honor just the word of God that has come forth, not only from here, but from all of you this weekend. You know, the Spirit teaches all things, and it's like we've been in a classroom of the Holy Spirit this weekend, and we've been learning from one another, you know, the generations, right? We've been feeling the groans of the grandmas, right? Sarah's a grandma at 59. I just don't even get it. She's epic. She just left. It's Sarah, right? 49, I mean. What was I saying? Okay, 49. That's even, not 59, I'm sorry. 49, she has this cool grandma shirt on. What in the world, right? So there's generations represented in this room. And again, I just want to say to all the younger ones, I've seen you scattered around. I remember when I was your age. I didn't want to go to women's things. Do you know what I'm saying? It was like mom would drag you and you'd be like, okay. And you're not really quite sure. But I want to say, I remember when I went at 16. Any 16-year-olds in the room? Well, no 16-year-olds. 15-year-olds. 17-year-olds. 15. Hey, get it. 15's an awesome age, right? So I was 16 and I showed up at this ladies' gathering only because my mom was the head of the ladies' ministry, you know, so of course I have to go. So I went along to this thing and this lady was giving prophetic words and she called me out and she gave me this prophetic word at 16 about being a Deborah to my generation, okay? It deeply, deeply marked my life, right? And I was like, oh, I'm glad that I came, right? So I just know that God starts with us young. And if we show up, young people, to weird and awkward events like a ladies' gathering at a local church, you better believe what God will do. So my heart is beating for you guys, the Gen Zs in the room, for real. You guys are going to see the biggest move of God that some of the older generation are never going to get to see, but they've paved the way for it. You better believe that. They've paved, they've dug, they've been in the trenches, you know. You get to stand on their shoulders and call back the king. So I want to just say I appreciate the fact that you guys came that are younger. I appreciate the ones that came that are older. I just appreciate the cross-generational representation we have that came out for this event. And it is just such a beautiful picture of the body of Christ, and the messages that have just come forth through all of you have been stunning, like with Kennedy and Winter and these ones that have been kind of leading us, right? Leading us. We get to, as older ones, because I'm older than Kennedy, I get to receive from her without judgment. Isn't that cool? Sometimes it's harder to be led by people that are younger than us. So I honor you older generation who are choosing to listen to a 41-year-old, right? You guys have lived way longer than me. You've got way cooler stories, right? So thank you for staying locked in. We all get to ascend the hill together. You know, I was so encouraged by Jeannie's message this morning. I mean, who loved that? I mean, I was totally in, it was like we got a shot in the arm of faith as she was talking about the prevailing word. Oh my goodness. It was so good. I was just like, that's goals. I want to be like her when I grow up. You know what I mean? Who else was thinking that? Make me like this woman when I grow up. Oh my goodness. She was like burning with a message and a resolve to hold on to scripture. You guys, young ones, that's a delightful card that a lady gave me. Just fell out. This word has got to become your bread and butter, right? They'll tell you, the older ones in the room, they'll tell you, the seasoned ones will tell you. You might not get it as soon as you read it. Like honestly, I'm just about to finish a 90-day reading plan. And honestly, every time I read the Old Testament, I'm like, it's kind of complicated. You know what I mean? Sometimes I don't really get it. And I always thought, oh, the Bible is about kind of like God's people. And it is, but it's about a very small remnant. It's about a very small group that dared to believe that God was doing something in their generation. Oh, man, I just loved, Autumn, what you shared today. And it so set the stage for what I want to share tonight. Because you shared about three pictures. Well, firstly, she shared about this crazy dream that she had in a four-wheeler, remember? And then she was being pressed in on both sides from two epic waves. One being the prayer movement, another being the missions movement. And she was kind of pressed in and then all of a sudden expedited forward as the two were converging together. So powerful. And she talked about three pictures. What was the first one? What was the first one that she talked about? The crescendo. Ah, what a picture. You feel that build in a song, right? You feel the build in a worship song. You feel those chords start to build. You feel like the instruments, the drums, like that. It starts to get louder and louder. And you feel that soar as you get to the crescendo in a piece of music. We as the body, we as the earth right now are coming to that moment in human history. The great crescendo where the Lord will return, essentially. The whole of earth is groaning, is waiting, is longing, right? For the sons of men to be revealed, right? We're coming to this place, this build. Can you hear the build? Can you feel it? You can, because you've showed up to this, right? The evidence of your butt in that, bottom, in that chair is evidence that you are perceiving that there is a piece of music that God is writing in the nations of the earth. And somehow you, from Huron and other little cities around this place, are foolish enough, are crazy enough to believe that God is doing something. He's doing something. And then what was the second picture? The volcano. She was talking about how in the lower parts of the earth, there's a rumbling. In the hidden parts, right? In the hidden places. And then she started to talk about there's a spouting out, a little poof. What is it, Autumn? Like gas? Heat that's being released, right? As the volcano is beginning to erupt, right? She talked about that. And then she talked about finally a woman who is in labor, who's getting ready to give birth. Again, hidden. Nobody knows except that woman that she's pregnant until she starts to show. And then she goes through a process. And then one day she gives birth. Miraculous. God is doing things in the nations of the earth. And he has a very, very special role for each of us to play. And so I do hope that you leave this gathering with an overarching sense that God is in our midst. That there's been this kind of this collaboration of messages from the crazy Aussie girl to the 70-year-old burning woman to Autumn to Kennedy at the back and Shannon and others who brought forth a word that has one storyline. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. He's beautiful. He's worthy of every tongue and every tribe, of every neighborhood, every nation. Right? He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy. And I found myself as I was praying for several of you at the ends of different services, God, would you mark them with the worth of the Son? Because when you realize the value of something, when you realize the value of someone, it'll take you to places that not many other things will take you. So that God would, in our midst, mark us with his infinite value. And we would find ourselves going places we've never gone before. We'd find ourselves a little legs going into where's Cindy at the back? What a wild story. Going into a hospital room, taking authority in that moment, right? Going up to it, maybe your neighbor's door and knocking on that door and saying,
Hi, I know that I've been your neighbor for the past 20 years. I know that maybe I've never said hi before, but hi, right? That's where it starts. Stepping into those places that you were terrified to step into, but now you are. So tonight, I'm going to tell a little story again, and then I'm going to share about something that applies to all the generations, though. Yeah, it just does. So I'm gonna go for it. So if you're writing a little title of this message, you're going to write the 10-centimeter phenomenon at the top. That's what we're calling this message, the 10-centimeter phenomenon. And those of you who are a little bit seasoned might know what I'm talking about. Others are like, what is this girl going to speak on? Some of you already know. Some of you already know the 10-centimeter phenomenon. We had been out for dinner. We had arrived back at her house. It was 2015, and I'd driven from Kansas City to Cookeville, Tennessee. I was visiting one of my dear friends I'd met in YWAM some 5 years earlier. She had recently visited her sister giving birth. And she was telling me the story. Her sister had asked her to take photos of the new baby. So she was there in the birthing suite when her sister was in labor. The room was quiet and filled with only one other professional, the obstetrician at the time. Now, I'm very aware that many of you in this room probably have had home births, but it's the same concept, right? So the room is quiet and not much is happening. She's in labor. But when she gets to 10 centimeters dilation, when she's ready, about ready to give birth, the room suddenly changes. The midwife arrives. Others arrive. There's a flurry of activity because in that moment, life is about to come forth. Nothing would stop it. Nothing would stop it. As we sat there on the floor of the laundry room, both single, both having never had children, it was like a divine wind had hit the room and we had been caught up in a holy conversation. And the Lord says this to me, the presence of the midwife speaks of the imminent birth. The presence of the midwife speaks of the soon coming birth. Over the next few days, I would begin to unpack what this meant. I felt like the Lord was saying to me, Sally, I've called you to be a midwife to the birthing of new life in others. Therefore, when you show up, look for life and be ready to help bring forth the promise. I am seeking skilled practitioners who know how to bring forth life. Let me teach you about the 10-centimeter phenomenon. Jesus just was kind of sharing this with me. So what is God inviting us to consider this evening? As we gather together, we are getting a very real sense that God is in our midst and that God has a very special role for women in this hour. Very special. I'm sure many of you in this room have considered the concept of spiritual midwifery before. I'm sure many of you have. But tonight, I feel like God wants us to dig a little bit deeper, even the singles in the room, to consider what it means to be a spiritual midwife in this hour. I want to contextualize this and give you a few verses just surrounding this idea of midwifery, okay? Matthew 24, 3 to 14 says this. As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us when these things will be and what will be the sign of your coming at the end of the age. And Jesus said to them, see that nobody leads you astray, for many will come in my name saying I am the Christ, and many will lead you astray, and you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these things are but the beginning of what? Birth pains or birth pangs. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another, and many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to the nations, and then the end will come. Romans 8:22, for we know that the whole of creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth. Can you not feel that? Oh, I can feel that. I can feel that in this room. I can feel your longings and your groanings for promise to come forth. Oh, I can feel it. It is pregnant in the spirit right now. There is a longing and a groaning that God has put within us. John 16:21 says this, but when a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again. And your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. In that day, you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give to you. Until you now have asked nothing in my name, ask and you will receive, so that your joy can be made full. From the beginning to the end of Scripture, this motif or this imagery of birthing is apparent. If you ever consider or deny your crazy worth as a woman, consider from beginning to end the way that the Scriptures move along, the way that the earth moves along in response to the command of God is through women. Birthing is through women, okay? This is beautiful. The worth of a woman in Scripture is beautiful. The worth of the man is equal, but it's different. And we get to lean in as women, right? Believing that God has something to show us about the womb. Can someone find for me Psalm 110? Psalm 110 has a really cool scripture about the womb. Once someone's got it, can someone stand up and just read it? You'll see the womb scripture there once you get it. Psalm 110. Okay, Shannon at the back. Just read like the, contextualize it from the start. Because it's so good. Yes. Ah, yes. Woo. Thank you, Shannon. This scripture in Psalms is this crazy, like, end time messianic kind of promise where God is speaking about in the day of his power, in the day of his coming, he will have volunteers. He will have ones that are lovesick for him from the womb of the Spirit. They are brought forth, right? So God himself has a womb, right? And as Autumn was speaking about, we will see the birthing of God's promises in a third great awakening in the earth, where God himself gives birth to promises, but through you. That's what's so profound. Through you. We consider also the two midwives. Remember in the story of Moses? What did they do? What did they say? When there was an edict set out to say, kill all the firstborns, what did these midwives say? Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. Oh, no. Oh, no. We missed it. These Israeli women, these Jewish women, they give birth before we get there, right? They gave excuses. These women were realizing that God had a plan, and that they were committed to bringing forth his purposes. And so they kind of lied, right, to save a generation. So midwives played a very specific role. Actually, midwives in Scripture is one of the first professions, right, outside of the family and outside of the church that are mentioned in the Word, which is very interesting, right? The midwife, highly skilled in bringing forth life. So tonight, right, God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, right? He does. So tonight, a single barren woman is going to unpack childbirthing for you, all right? This is the way that God works. He does. He just does. I was so intimidated when he started speaking to me. I'm like, man, I'm going to the heart of the Midwest here. Everybody gets married at 19 and pops out a kid at 20. And they're probably looking at me thinking, Sally Good, you're about to tell us about birthing. But you know what? God just speaks things, so I'm going to roll with it. And I believe that for some of you who have given birth, some things are going to start to make sense in the spirit, because what God does in the natural, he does in the spirit. And we can learn, right? Those of you who are parents start to realize, oh, that's how God loves us. I love my kid like that. Oh, right? For those of you who are unmarried and younger, I know this feels irrelevant, but it's not, because you're all called to be midwives. You are all called to look for life, okay? So tonight, we are going to look at primarily a bit of a horizontal reality, all right? A lot of these messages that we've been hearing about and receiving have been about that vertical reach, right? That remembering Scripture, looking at God, okay? Believing God in faith. But tonight, what I want us to explore a little bit is, what is God looking in the fabric of the generations, in the fabric of people relating to one another, that would help be a conduit to bring forth his promises, all right? Because God does want to bring forth a great awakening. He wants to bring forth a great harvest, but is the fabric of our body ready to contain what he wants to bring? I loved, a few years ago, we had this kind of thing happen at IHOP called the Convergence, and all these Chinese people just showed up, and it was kind of wild back in 2018. And one of the things that was said was that the kingdom grows at the speed of relationship. The kingdom grows at the speed of relationship. So what we want to look at right now is, we're going to learn some things about pregnancy, about labor, and about birthing that is directly related to what it looks like for us being ones who would stare into the most intimate places of others and call forth life. What does a midwife do? She looks into the vaginal cavity of a woman. That is intense, you guys. I mean, come on. She looks in, even, and she sees things that even the woman who is pregnant cannot see in that moment, right? And that woman, she is altogether vulnerable and altogether in and out of pain and craziness. And that midwife does a role that woman in that moment can't do. So in the spirit, you guys, what is that role? What is that role that we are called to do, ladies, younger and older, both together, right? Looking in and looking for the crowning of the head, and recognizing when what God has ordained in heaven is wanting to touch down on earth, that moment of spiritual birthing. How do we perceive it? How do we know when it's coming? What do we look for? How do we know when someone's pregnant with promise? How do we know when they're in labor but not yet ready to push? What kind of discernment do we need, sisters in the spirit, to walk alongside others, cross-generationally, younger to older? I've noticed several moms have brought their daughters. That's beautiful. Moms, you need wisdom on how to do this, right? Daughters, you need wisdom on how to receive from mom, right? We need wisdom in to know how to do this, how to walk together. Because when we consider great awakenings, like Autumn was talking about, that starts right here. This is where the great awakening happens. When the glory of the Lord fills the earth, he fills it through obedient hearts. The tangibility of hearts that are like, God, we want you. The epic cry of the bride saying, come, Lord Jesus. So when we consider great awakenings on the earth, it's not some ethereal, vibey thing. It's hearts laid low, hitting the deck, proclaiming that he is Lord. So if revival and awakening happens within this tent, and if birthing comes through us, how do we relate to one another in the mess of that? We need great wisdom, and that's what tonight's about. It's about learning a little bit, a couple of little nuggies from heaven, that we would take back to our cities so that we know how to recognize life on somebody. All right. So, oh, God, help me. I'm a little bit intimidated. God, just, okay. Fear of man, go. Amen. All right, so here's the thing. Pregnancy, right? Pregnancy, okay? This happens in the spirit. Maybe it's happened to you this weekend where you've caught something or you've seen something on somebody or you've been in a moment of worship and all of a sudden the heart is like impregnated with something eternal from God. You know when it comes. All of a sudden you kind of know that it's there. For some of you this weekend, it's been a reminder of who you are and what you're made for, right? For others of you, it's a literal call to a nation of the earth, right? It's God putting in you this seed in the spirit, and it's intangible firstly. Like just like Autumn was saying, like when someone is, oh, I think, no, Winter was saying, or both of you are saying, when someone is pregnant, only that woman knows, and even she might feel a little bit crazy in the moment, like, am I really? I am, but am I really? I can't see anything. And yet you know that you are. So there's this life that kind of drops on you or drops into you by the Holy Spirit. And in the natural, women become more sensitive to their bodies. They realize, wow, life is growing in me. And so when you're impregnated with something of the Holy Ghost, you become sensitive to the movement of him in you. In a way that you might not have been before. And so you feel him, your eyes are open. For me, this moment happened when I was in Thailand at 19. Everything changed. Everything changed. Tell you what happened. I was 19 and I was on my first mission trip to Thailand. And I was in a tiny little room, probably like, I don't know, the size of maybe this little area. It was the only air-conditioned room. You know how it is? If anyone's been to developing nations, everybody's in that one air-conditioned room. Oh, it's so hot. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, someone starts playing on the guitar and singing in Thai, Jesus, lover of my soul. And like, I'm hot, and I'm sweaty, and in a moment, I'm like, pfft. I'm apprehended by the God of the nations. All of a sudden, I'm realizing, oh my God, oh my God, you are the same God in Thailand as you are in Australia. It was the first time I'd seen it. First time I felt it. It was poof in my spirit, man. It dropped on me. It was an awakening to a longing and a desire of God that would then lead me to return the next year and and work as a missionary in Thailand, and then 5 years after that, take teams from my church. I mean, that one moment when God dropped in, and I just knew it, just resting on me. And so for some of you, you've not yet had that moment, but that moment is coming. And I want to just seed your heart with faith, younger generation in this room. Ask for it. Ask for that moment where you are apprehended by God in a way that takes your breath away, in a way that, like, all of a sudden sheets of tears are coming, in a way where Jesus says to Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Nothing in Peter could have understood outside of what God gave. Ask him for that. Ask him for those moments. God, would you put something in me that is beyond me? Put something within me. Mark me for this storyline that you're writing in the nations. Mark me, as Autumn was saying, for the neighborhoods and the nations of the earth. God, would you do it? I can't muster it up. I can't try and get there on my own, but would you put it in me? And for those of you who have had it in you, maybe this weekend is about reminding you again of what God has been resting on your life, right? A moment happens where something comes upon us. When something comes upon us, when we all of a sudden notice something different, we have a choice like Moses did. You know Moses? He's in the wilderness. What does he see? He sees that bush. Right? And it says, and when he turned aside and paid attention to it, that's when God spoke. So I want to encourage you, this weekend, God has been dropping things in your spirit, but if you just go back to business as usual, back in your hometown, then we miss sometimes what it is that God is saying. And that moment for Moses shifted everything, didn't it? He's undone in that moment. So we get to turn aside. And I want to encourage you. There's been riches. I said to Autumn, why'd you invite me to come? I mean, you could have preached all these messages. I mean, any one of you could just be up here and just edifying the body right now. But I mean, it's a joy. But all I'm saying is we get to go back after this moment and say, God, show me what you put in my womb, right? Okay, so I wanna open up and just share a little story with you that's kind of been going on for the past 15 years of my life, and that story started when I was 26. That's 15 years ago now, and when I was 26, I was at a ladies' conference. I didn't realize that until this moment. Okay, it was a ladies' conference. Okay, I was at a ladies' conference, and there was a lady up the front who was preaching about the time of the judges, and every character that she brought up in the time of the judges, she would talk about their name and what their name meant. And so she said, she was just talking about these different characters, and then it got to Deborah, and she said, and Deborah means to conquer with words, right? And I had previously received a word about Deborah, so I'm listening. Right? We listen, don't we? We take note. So I'm 26. I'm sitting at a table. I'll never forget. I was wearing this cute red sweatshirt thing. And I was sitting and I had a fun hat on. I just remember my outfit. Anyway, whatever. We always remember our outfits when God touches us. So we do. Ladies, do you not? You remember what you're wearing? So I'm sitting there and then she goes, and Deborah was married to Lapidoth, a torch of flaming fire. Immediately the whole room stopped. I didn't hear a word that woman said for the rest of her message. I kid you not. Hasn't happened to me many times. Everything paused. It's like, you know how, it's like, that's what sounds like around me. And I'm just sitting there and God is saying, is just downloading, Sally, you are a Deborah and I have a Lapidoth for you. And every man that you go on a date with, you are to ask me, because I choose your husband, is he a torch of flaming fire? And if I say no, you better get the heck out of there. Amen. run for the hills. So that was at 26. Now at 26, do you think I had already wanted to be married by that point? Yes, correct. Like most of you, I wanted to be married at 20, at 21. So already I'm like asking the Lord, Lord, where's my husband? Where's my husband, right? So I was asking the Lord this question, and so he said, I have this man for you, but I want you to wait. But in that moment, something dropped into the womb of my spirit, a promise that was unshakable. Some of you have those in the womb. Oh, you do. You do, and you're still asking God, when is that? When is that promise going to be birthed, right? And so, I want to open that up with saying this story because for the next 15 years, I was pregnant with that promise. 15 years. I met this man that I'm going to marry when I was 40. 40. Some of you guys got done having children at 40. Like I'm meeting the husband at 40. It's a long time to wait, but what did God do in that process? So we've talked about what we experience, okay? So as midwives, as sisters, right, we are often helping to birth promises as well as birthing promises all at the same time, right? We understand that. So we're walking alongside others and we're watching them carry things in the spirit, but we're also carrying things in the spirit, right? And so we're getting to be midwives to one another in this hour. So one of the little nuggies during the phase of pregnancy is the gift of the prophetic, okay? This is the gift that comes forth, which operates like this. We know that 1 Corinthians 14:3 said the gift of prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. Edification, exhortation, and comfort, okay? Edification, build up. Exhortation, thrust out. Comfort, draw near. It's the best way I like to explain it, okay? Building up, thrusting out, and drawing near. It's the beauty of a prophetic word, okay? Why is this powerful, okay? 14:3. Growing with others. So what this looks like, okay, when you go back to your home churches, right, and you're having coffee with your girlfriends, right, let the prophetic gift start to be an operation in you. And so you say, God, show me where there's life resting upon people that I'm walking with, okay? Show me the life. And so what that looks like is you're having coffee, and I'm just going to use Autumn because she's the only woman I know in this room. Well, I know some of you, but we have the most relational equity out of it. But anyway, I'll roll with it. So I would see Autumn, and I would say, Autumn, I see this new thing resting on your life. I want to see that. I see that God is rebirthing or refreshing this call to the nations. I see that he wants to equip you and he wants to. So I start to talk about the things that I see in Autumn. And I remember when I spoke to her on the phone before this, I say, oh my goodness, Autumn, remember we had that conversation? I said, God is doing something in you. Your desire to see a women's liberation movement is not in vain. And it's resting on the womb of your spirit and God will bring it to bring it forth. So what does that do to her when I start saying these things? It encourages. It confirms in her. Maybe this little baby is only the size of a pea, right? She's not even really sure whether it's from God. Now she does. I was kind of pretending that whole thing. But she's not even sure that that's really what God has said. But a sister comes along and a sister sees even more than what she's seen. And maybe it feels ethereal to that person who's carrying it, but you as a sister have clarity and you can start to speak. I see this in you. I see that God has placed this on your life. I see that he's doing this in the midst of adversity. And as you begin to speak over your sister, over your child, over your husband, you begin to give words to what's on the inside of them. It's very powerful. This is how the body builds the body. Okay? So we get to ask God for the gift of prophecy. We're going to ask him for it now. Thank you, Jesus, that you give the gifts for the exaltation of Jesus and the common good.
That's what you say. This is about the works of Jesus. So we ask you right now, for those of you, for those ladies in this room who have never given a prophetic word, who have been scared to encourage, who don't even know how to do it, I ask you by the Holy Spirit that you would walk among the lampstands, Jesus, and that you would rest upon them and deposit the spiritual gift of prophecy over their hearts, that they would begin to see and perceive life that rests upon their children, that mother-daughter relationships would transform, that mother-child relationships transform, that marriages would transform because they would begin to see their husbands not according to the annoyance, but according to the promise. Amen. Right? Amen. So you get to see what you do as a midwife, right? You walk alongside, right? And you begin to say things to people that they might not yet know deeply on the inside. And it confirms and it establishes what is on the inside, okay? Secondly, what happens in the space of pregnancy is not only do we walk in the prophetic gift, but as we're together with one another in the space of fellowship, we share together. So I want to encourage you, right, after this gathering to go back to your context and within the next 48 hours, share something that Jesus has done in you, right? Because joy shared is joy multiplied. Write that one down. Joy shared is joy multiplied. So when you leave this place and God has put something new in your heart, please share it with somebody so that they can look you in the eyes and say, ah, yes, it's true. You are different, right? They get to listen. There's a place of listening in the body of Christ that we've got to win back, ladies. Listening is so powerful in the place of love, in the place of disciple making, in the place of seeing generations come forth. When you sit and you listen to somebody's dream, when you listen to somebody's journey, when you listen to what God has placed in their heart, they get to hear it again. So often, they need to hear it again. And they need you to go, yeah, and I see it too. It's no small thing, right? We remember this in the Word when we consider Mary and Elizabeth, right? Elizabeth affirmed for Mary what Mary knew in her heart. In sharing her news openly, Mary was able truly to celebrate what she had been pondering and what had initially disturbed her. Elizabeth listened to Mary deeply, and Mary was then able to proclaim her joy. For some of you, God is actually speaking to you. Some of you younger people is speaking to you about doing a YWAM DTS or speaking to you about going to the nations or speaking to you about going to your neighbor's house. And when you start to share that with somebody else, guess what? It gets really real, right? And you get to start to put feet to it, right? You get to start to walk in some accountability, which moves us forward, right? So share what God has done, okay? Share with each other. Share burdens. Galatians 6 tells us that we get to nurture these places, okay? So the question is, okay, what does it look like to walk alongside others as they're carrying life in their womb? What does love look like, ladies? I'm just going to ask you. Popcorn it up. Who's got a thought? What does it look like? Encouragement. Good. Joy. Cheerleading. Yeah, what else? Risking. Listening. Yeah, what else? Compassion. Yeah, what? Bing. Absolutely. Do you know how far friendliness goes? It's so powerful. Thank you for contributing. Yes, again? Generosity, right? Generosity. We get to walk alongside others in generosity, listening to them, celebrating with them, the life in their womb, the life in their spirit. Even if we're going through a difficult season, we get to sit alongside others and tell me what happened to you. What has God been putting in you? Okay, what is he beginning to destroy you with on the inside? What idols are beginning to smash down? What is he asking you to fast and pray about?
As we listen, this is how we cry out for revival. This listening and sharing is a part of the build, you guys. It's a part of the crescendo. It's not just ura ba 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 ba. It's not all vertical, guys. It's so horizontal. And you mamas in the room know that because that's where real life happens. Happens with your kids and your husbands. It happens when you're walking with others and you're feeling, what are they walking through? And you're leaning in with hope, right? Oh, that's so good. All right, the next phase is obviously labor. So 9 months happens, and then what happens? What pushes a woman into labor? Contractions, yes, but what happens to her body? Something just goes woof. The water breaks, right? Breaking forth of Holy Spirit. Let's think about that. No, look, the woman starts to go into labor. And so let us consider, what does it look like? How does a person look different in the spirit when they're in labor versus just carrying something? What happens when a woman in the natural goes into labor? She can't do some of the things that she was doing. Everything stops, right? Time kind of stops. And all attention is given to bringing forth life. So what does that look like in the spirit? Have you ever met somebody who all they're talking about is one thing? They're in labor. Have you ever met somebody that they've just started to sacrifice in a way that maybe they never have before? I'm thinking about your story, Winter, about giving up a job. Right? Sometimes when people go into labor, they all of a sudden get struck with, I got to give this thing up or else that other thing is not going to happen. Right? So it's like God starts to shift you into a place of like surrender. Surrender is coming because you know that right before you give birth, ladies, you are at that ultimate place of surrender. You are giving it all in. And many women feel like they're going to die. Right? Life always comes forth from death. Okay? Same happens in the spirit. So what does this look like? When a woman begins to go into labor, she may experience a time of uncertainty and self-doubt. When what feels like contractions, are they the real thing or are they not? Braxton Hicks or not? Am I having this baby or aren't I? Some of us in the spirit, right? When we're carrying something in the spirit, is this real? Like often we'll have this promise. Like for me, you know, I was probably 35, you guys. And I'm like, God, am I crazy? I've gone out with all of these different men with a good heart, with a desire to follow you. Am I crazy to think that 10 years ago you spoke that word? You start to second guess that word like crazy. You're in labor. Right? The enemy tries to bring confusion right before the birthing. So when you start to notice that confusion, heads up, God's about to bring something forth. Right? It happens every time. So what do you do as a midwife? What do you do as a friend in that moment? What do? You walk alongside that person and you say, I see it on you. You confirm the word. Hey! My friends would, Sal, don't give up. Don't give up. What you heard 10 years ago was real and from God because 10 years ago I'd had that conversation. See why it's so important to share with our girlfriends, share with our husbands, share with our kids, whatever it looks like, so that years later when you are just about to give up, someone comes alongside of you and says, do not forsake that word. You might feel so crazy. You might feel like you can't even bring it forth. You might feel weak. You might feel like God's abandoned you. Don't give up on that word. Let us be that kind of sisterhood for one another, right? That get right up in people's business and say, hey, I see a little bit of defeat on your face. I feel like you think you're a little bit crazy on believing of what the Lord spoke to you about. What he dropped in your spirit, a call to a nation or a job that you've been hoping to get or a relationship that you're wanting to walk into or even a healing that you're believing for. And you've had a promise and you've been cultivating that promise, right? We need each other to remind each other to stay in it, you guys. We've got to. And this wisdom that comes walking as midwives with one another is what helps us from conference to conference, from being gathering point to gathering point, right? We leave this moment and we get in each other's lives and we go, hey, I want to encourage you. You've all got friends in this room. Make a point within the next week to get with one of your friends and talk about what God did at Faith Infusion Conference. Talk about it, right? Testimony. Do it again, God. Do it again, right? Cultivate that place. Stir each other up. We may touch on particularly dark areas in our lives that need exploring or may need to make a decision about the direction of our lives. Again, God is leading us to a place of absolute surrender during this time of the first phase of labor. He's like, are you really going to surrender to this, right? Are you really going to give this up? Are you really going to give me your whole life? Like Kennedy was saying, do you really love me? It gets real. Why? Because some things have to die in order to birth the new things. Idols have to crush. We've got to let some things go, right? And so you can feel that. Maybe you relate to that in your own life. Maybe you're even there right now where God is kind of, he's like, it's not yet. I'm about to bring forth that promise, but I need you to surrender. I really need you to give those things up. Really need to give into me in a certain way so that I can bring forth through your life something that will last and hold. So the midwife here is encouraging in this place of labor. The midwife here operates in the discerning of spirits, another really cool gift of the Holy Spirit. The discerning of spirits and the gift of faith are really cool gifts. I'm just in this place in my life. I was talking to Marnie and her daughter Aspen. They had to leave, but how, like, back in the 90s, we had kind of some weird funk around some of the spiritual gifts. It was kind of divorced from the person of the Holy Spirit. And so I kind of poo-pooed it for a while. But, like, now I'm back and I'm like, oh, God, I need more. Give me it all, right? You know what I mean? I need more. So, Father, would you give me every gift of the Holy Spirit and allow me to walk in those gifts? And so as a midwife, we need to be able to discern what is going on. We need to say, hey, friends, stay in it. Hey, daughter, stay in it. Remind them of the promises, okay? We get to walk in the gift of faith, which believes radically when that other person has no more strength to believe. You get alongside them and you say, sister, I know you don't have faith for this, but ride on my faith in this moment. I've got faith for you. This is what love in the body looks like. All right. So let me see. So then as the woman moves through, I know there's like so much pain and craziness and all things that are happening in a woman's body before she gives birth. But, you know, in the natural world, before birth, there comes the most difficult part of labor. And this is the transition phase. This is where a woman moves from being in labor to being fully dilated. She's ready. She's about to bring forth this child, right? She's at 10 centimeters, all right? Okay, and this is the most difficult part of labor. Some women feel like they're about to die. Did anybody feel like they're about to die before they gave birth? Yeah. Right, some of you know what I'm talking about. You were like, oh dear God, I just cannot. I cannot, right? And so there is this sense of like, I am not sure that I can endure this type of pain. And so hello, baby. In the spirit, it's the same thing. Right before the birthing of promise, many of us will hit a place of deep pain where we're not sure of what God is asking of us is actually possible to walk through. Can we give that thing up? Can we endure this night? Can we walk through this warfare? This darkness is so, so great. Can we make it? And in that moment of despair and discouragement, this is where the midwife does her best work. And this is what I'm talking about, the 10 centimeter phenomenon. I really believe that what God is doing in the earth, he does first in the place of prayer, right? And so many of you have been praying many more years than what I've been praying. I understand that. And I just want to honor in this room the deep intercession that has gone out of hearts. And I just want to call the younger generation into a place of of being caught up in the spirit of prayer. And I just feel like there's God is calling us, you guys, to be midwives who get up close and personal with those who are about to get ready to give birth. And that might look like literally somebody who's being ready to being birthed into new life, like as in get saved, right? That's when we're first a midwife, when we see a new believer, right, come to Christ. That is the greatest way that as Christians we can be a midwife to the new birthing. And so what that looks like at 10 centimeters is we might have to change our schedule. We might have to get up in the middle of the night and pray like we've never prayed before. We might have to go around to people's houses or walk into hospital rooms or whatever it looks like. It's the crazy things. It's that moment, right, where we just go, I'm just doing it. I'm just standing alongside my sister, even if people judge me, even if it costs me something, right? Even if it's radical surrender, I'm going to stand alongside her and look into the most intimate, into the most vulnerable place that she is and say, Mama, you're made to do this. You're made to bring forth life. And you get in that place of prayer, and that's where travail happens, as Kennedy was talking about. That's where we get caught up in the burden of the Lord. It's so messy, and many of us don't want to go there. We don't. Because looking into that place, it's bloody. And sometimes people don't want to be seen like that. And yet, what does it look like? What does it look like, ladies, to stand alongside one another, right? In that moment of birthing with a pure heart and clean hands to receive all that God wants to bring. This is the moment for the person who is pregnant of absolute surrender. They are surrendering to the process. All of a sudden, that baby is overtaking all that they are. And she is surrendered and she's just bringing forth this child through pain, through crying, you know. We no longer have any control. And we may feel that a part of us is dying or has died. We may feel that we want to give up or that we do not know what to do with ourselves anymore. We may have little strength left and we may succumb to involuntary forces that seem to take over ourselves and our lives. God may seem distant, okay? In the last agony of the cross, Christ, according to Mark and Matthew, cried out in complete surrender, my God, why have you forsaken me? Yet the experience of pain, even though it is still felt with full force, can be sacred because it is in this moment that life comes forth. The midwife looks into that place. She agrees. She puts on, she understands that she's one of clean hands and a pure heart. What began as a perception of life over a coffee 10, 20 years ago, 10, 11 months ago, what began as a simple conversation, what transposed into a place of walking alongside that daughter, that son, walking aside that was, you can do it, God's bringing it forth, has become in full force, push, you can bring this life forward. This is our role. In this moment of history, ladies, he wants to position us to be ready for the mess. Position us to be ready for the birthing, the great birthing of the end time harvest, which is promises coming through the body of Christ. It's so powerful. As the mother pushes, the midwife looks for life. As the mother pushes, the midwife looks for life. Who do you already know in your circles that you see life upon them? Who can you already befriend? Who can you already go up to? Who can you already connect with and begin to prophesy and begin to call forth? What you see is written on the inside of the womb of their spirit. What is God already saying? What is he already doing? Midwives, daughters, moms, grandmamas, you get to be a reassuring, compassionate, long-suffering presence to those who are carrying life, right? So as we start to close, we kind of did the ministry time first because I just kind of felt on it. But what I really want to pray tonight is just that God would begin to position you by the Spirit. Do you reckon you could come up and actually, yeah, you play. So that Abigail, you can just sit there. She's got it. Get it. Let's do it. So we're just going to move into a place where we're just going to begin to settle in on what God has been speaking. Thank you for receiving from this single 40-year-old, right? Really. But it's a word of the Lord, right? So what I want to say is that after many years, you know, I was all out of hope for this man. I was running out of burning men, you know what I mean? There was not many left. And I had done this online dating thing, you know, giving it a real red hot crack, really giving it a go. I really did. Is that rude to say that? Sorry, it's an Aussie thing. It's not swearing. Anyway, I'd really given it a great go, and I got to about 1.5 years, and I was like, I am done with this, God. And I know that you've still promised it. And then God said, cast your net out one more time. One more time. Isn't that funny? There's many fish in the ocean. It's kind of funny. But anyway, fish in the sea, fish being men. Anyway, but he really did say, cast your net out one more time. Try one more time. And so I was at IHOP. It's kind of a crazy story. I was telling your mom and auntie in the back. I was at IHOP last year, and we had these 2 weekends in July. And this guy was coming and giving words of knowledge, and he was talking about Deborah's in the room. No, first he talked about who's had an encounter with God around eating the scrolls. Stand up. So I had a radical encounter about eating the scrolls. So I stood up. He said, of those of you who are standing, stay standing if you've had an encounter with God around being a Deborah. And so I stayed standing. I was like, oh God, I feel the Lord. I feel it. Ooh. And so then I'm stay saying, he said, remain standing if you had an encounter about that, is a Deborah, and you are called as a Deborah to the nations. So I stood standing. I just stayed up. And Daniel Grenz and a couple of others came over and started to pray for me. And I went into travail. If any of you end up watching, if any of you are interested in watching those 2 weekends in July at IHOP, they're really powerful. Some crazy words of knowledge. It'll build your faith. But you can hear me yelling. I mean, I have a loud voice. But I start to go into groans in the room. And no one knows this, but I realize I'm groaning for this man that God wants to bring forth. This Lapidoth, this torch of flaming fire in July of last year at 40 years of age, when the promise is like back in my 20s. It's not easy going through your 30s in the Midwest being single. People have kids really young and you feel really awkward. You don't know where you fit. You don't know where you belong. And so there's been so much pain in the waiting. Guys, there's pain in our waiting, isn't there? And so I start to go into travail and I say to one of my girlfriends, mark my word, God is going to bring forth my husband in a very short amount of time. I knew it. I just knew it. And so the very next day, I'm like, I'll get back online for one day. Sure enough, the very next day, I meet this man that Jesus brought into my life. Via online dating. Did I ever want that story? No. I didn't. I wanted this. Someone had a dream. They came. Da, da, da. But God used that. God did that because he can use whatever. He was like, Sally, suck it up. Do you want the man or do you want the story? I'm like, I want the man. I want the man. It's all good. It's quite a story. So for 15 years, I carried this in the womb of my spirit. One of the deepest desires that a woman has, right? 15 years asking God for this. 15 years. And God, at the right moment, brought forth a birthing. And he's faithful. And so I just really want to have this moment. I feel like God has been releasing multiple messages tonight, like culmination moments, right? Yeah. Of different things he's been speaking to you about. Okay? So we're just going to have kind of this moment. You guys can sing something in a second. And I just want to speak a blessing over positioning you guys as midwives in your context. Yeah. Ones who are committed to look for life. Ones who are committed to watch the life in their own womb.
be carried along by the Holy Spirit. When you start to recognize that life in you, you start to share it, oh, it becomes more real, doesn't it? God wants to do something in and through you. And so I just want to pray that. And then let's just go into worship. I just feel like either Autumn or one of the leaders or even myself, we'll figure out where we go from there. But I just feel like God is just wanting to kind of meet us in this message in multiple ways. And so Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come all throughout this room. Great Spirit of the living God, be released upon the womb of the room. Put your hand on your womb right now. Put your hand on your womb. God, I speak life in the place of death in the name of Jesus. For those who have been asking you, God, I need a new thing from you. God, I ask you, drop it by the Holy Spirit right now. Drop it by the Holy Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. We're just going to sit. We're just going to wait. I know this message has been kind of weird, kind of odd, but oh, so tangible when you consider God birthing life on the earth by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord.